You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where our favorite augmented reality game is called Life. And I don't mean that shitty fucking board game where you, like, draw a card and somehow you end up with quadruplets. Here in America, we love outrage. At least, a certain percentage of us do. Michael Bay may say it's the same 50 people, but I don't know how many it is exactly. I do know that it's enough to annoy me, and not just because it drives media coverage of these stories. Or maybe it only seems that the media coverage is beholden to and influenced by outrage culture because I'm always connected to the internet. And that is what annoys me. We are always connected to the internet through our computers, our phones, and our TVs. Our computers that are wireless and portable, except for apparently Daniel, who doesn't have internet in his apartment in DC. Our phones that we can use to play games, watch movies and shows, and take pictures and videos. Our TVs that are high definition and flat screen. We sit in front of these screens and get angry that life isn't exactly how we want it to be. We complain about systemic racism. We complain about how white privilege, that's white people, have it just a little bit better than everyone else on some infinitesimal, almost imperceptible level. Well, you know who has it better than anyone in the history of the world ever? We do. The poorest of us live better than the kings of yesteryear. Ask yourself, would you rather be poor in modern America or a pharaoh in ancient Egypt? I know, things aren't perfect today. But they are better than they ever have been in human history. And your ability to complain about the imperfections you find is American privilege. So if you want to check anyone's privilege, check your own by asking yourself if you're really doing everything you can to improve your life and the lives of those people you care about, or if you're just using your advantages to partake in some sort of perpetual catharsis. Joining me this trip via Skype from our nation's capital, and actually over LTE instead of wireless because he doesn't have American privilege, maybe, Daniel T. Richards. Daniel, is social media driving the news, or is that my imagination running wild?
Well, first I want to say that Perpetual Catharsis is an excellent band name.
I know.
That couldn't go without being said.
I think if you end the monologue on a phrase that also could be a band name, that's like Nirvana.
That's right. Zing. What was I going to say? Oh, and my internet only works half the time because I'm half Mexican.
That makes sense.
That's right. Is social media driving the news? I think it's a different thing in and of itself. I think the news, it used to be a place where you got, you know, news, information. Now it's where you go to get your emotions. How am I supposed to feel about this thing is what social media does. It's the front page of that fucking movie Inside Out. That's what it is. It's basically, where am I supposed to be afraid? Where am I supposed to be angry? Where am I supposed to be sad? What am I supposed to feel about this given topic at any given moment? That is what social media is. It's not even news.
That makes me feel like my life is partially driven by Mindy Kaling, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should feel disgusted, but that might just be too on the nose. Also joining us this trip, via Skype, from the Midwest, where no one wants to be, apparently, Midsider Michael. Michael, congratulations. You've made it to the show. How does it feel?
It feels great. I'm honored to be on.
You clearly don't
That's
get how
boring.
This works. You're supposed to, like, shit on us right now.
I'm going to work on it as we go, and by the end, I'm going to be really good at this.
Sweet.
That's good, because it took us about 100 episodes to get decent, so if you can do it in under that, you're improved on us. All right, let's move forward to something we should be better at by now. Right, Daniel?
Eh.
All right. Well, let's see how good Daniel is in the news with Daniel T. Richards.
It really is that bad. These aren't harmless criminals. This isn't just a fad. 'Cause kid, there's consequences to what we say and what we do.
We were going to talk this week about the most important issues facing American culture: scandal, outrage, disgust, racism. But in fact, one story became so big that to ignore it would seem culturally insensitive to the 7.5 million people who have partaken in this thing in the past 5 days. Yes, that's right. We're talking about Pokemon Go. Because Pokemon Go has become so addictive that everyone in the goddamn country is talking about it right now. And in fact, the Daily Dot reports that Pokemon Go is in fact so addictive that people are getting way more exercise than they're used to. Is this what it takes, America? Not Michelle Obama, but Pokemon Go?
Well, to be fair, Pokemon are more convincing than Michelle Obama. I mean, would you rather listen to her or a creature that just says its name all the time?
I thought that was Michelle Obama. Okay.
So, well, no, that would be, I mean, if she went around saying shoulders all day, then people would listen to her.
Yes. I think calves, but yeah.
Does Michelle Obama say her name a lot? Do you find that every time she walks in front of a camera, the first thing that she says is her name? Yes.
Well, can you imagine sex in the Obama household?
No.
Let me be clear.
That never will happen.
Let me be clear. Michelle. Let me be clear. Michelle.
Let me finish. I'm going to finish.
Michelle.
Okay, that's all horrifying.
You're welcome. So
we're gonna move on from that. Otherwise, nightmares will ensue. But
I'd like to rephrase my answer from earlier.
It's a pleasure to be here, right, Michael? Okay. Everyone is obsessed with finding and catching Pokemon in Pokemon Go, the augmented reality app that launched earlier this week. But for some, Pokemon Go is more than just an entertaining app. It's helping them increase exercise. Doug Bird, spelled with a Y, said using the app deliberately encourages him to be more active, posting on Imgur under the username HypnoChanger. He said he walked...
Wait, is his name? Is his name a Pokemon? Isn't HypnoChanger? I don't even know how the fuck. How do I fucking know that? That sounds like a Pokemon name.
I don't know. It sounds maybe remotely like a Pokemon name. I didn't. Here's a confession. True confession time. Never got into Pokemon.
Hmm.
Never. My younger cousin was heavily into Pokemon, and thus I had to constantly pick cards out of my skin because he would throw them at me so hard, like little ninja stars.
Wait. So Pokemon turned your cousin into Gambit?
Yeah, basically. I mean, without the cool accent, but basically. So I don't really know anything about Pokemon. We were having this discussion at work today where every single millennial in the office is walking around with their phone at eye level catching a friggin' Pokemon in front of our art and sculptures and in the hallways.
And the Constitution.
And the Constitution, yes, indeed. And I can't share in this with them because this was not a part of my childhood. This was not a part of me at all growing up, other than being annoyed at my younger cousin.
Yeah, it does seem to cross demographics, and I never really understood it either. I mean, a little bit of the cartoon is funny. Psyduck is pretty funny. His voice is pretty funny. And you have to love Jigglypuff, who is basically a frat guy where he finds ways to make people pass out and then draws on their faces. That's pretty funny.
Is it?
I never got into the card game, but I played a lot of Game Boy Pokemon. Pokemon Red on Game Boy, yeah.
Well, that's where it originated. See, he's going OG.
And I couldn't sleep when I got it. I played all night.
See, that's what I don't get. Doesn't it get repetitive? Like, it's the same thing over and over again, isn't it?
Well, it's the same as any other game. Yeah, it's yes and no. You're catching Pokemon, it gets more difficult. They get higher level. They get XP and grow.
How do you win at Pokemon?
Well,
you catch them all.
Win. You had to I don't remember it very well, very clearly, but I remember that I needed to catch Mewtwo and to catch him I needed this
horrible band.
this
horrible band.
This master. I need
that's like a
U2 ball.
Cover band where they all dress like cats.
That sounds like a great band. It sounds like an improvement on the original, at least. Just
somehow less annoying.
It's yeah, until you find out that it was their producer is Andrew Lloyd Webber. And,
I wondered if somebody was going to make that reference.
That's right.
Anyway, I needed a master ball, and I had already used it, so then I basically just never played again.
Yeah, there were phrases being thrown around the office today while people were looking at each other's screens, like, how did you get such great balls?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the senior staff did not quite know what to make of this.
Wait, I thought this was what you used Snapchat for, was to get people to say that, not Pokemon.
So, Doug Bird, also known as Hypno Changer on Imgur, said he walked 10 kilometers. Why do you find that funny?
Listen to that string of words. Doug Bird, also known as Hypno Changer on Imgur. It's gibberish.
Here's another one. He walked 10 kilometers. What the fuck is a kilometer? Do you go from here to Guam or like next door? I have no idea. Except they put in parentheses for the stupid Americans, or just over 6 miles.
By the way, that's American. Day. By the way, American privilege. The fact that they actually translate that for you and you don't have to translate it for yourself, American privilege.
Yeah, that's awesome. And he walked 6 miles in one day thanks to Pokemon Go. Caption shared with a Pokemon Go activity screenshot says he is a bit overweight. Something in the 500 pounds range.
Jesus!
So that's 6 miles from 500 pounds. That's actually quite a fucking accomplishment.
Yeah, so is that a metric version of bit that I don't understand?
No, I don't think it is.
Okay.
I think you fully get the irony there.
I mean, I said this in the thread this week. If Pokemon Go is somehow what saves the world, I'm just going to fucking shoot myself in the face. Like, after
Lisa
all...
starts playing Pokemon Go, and it's just, they're like, ah, fuck it. We need a new Pikachu.
I mean, out of everything we've done and tried to do in the world, and it's Pokemon Go. Because, again, have you guys tried Pokemon Go?
I have not.
Okay,
no,
I...
but the way you say it makes me appreciate your stupid Snapchat joke where you thought it was a Pokemon Go instead of a Pokemon Go.
That's good. If you're not following me on Snapchat, you missed one of my snaps this week where I said, when I first saw the hashtag for the game, I thought it was a new form of Poke called Mongo.
Yes, which any self-respecting person will actually think is a Blazing Saddles reference. But
sure.
Anyway... The system of making your Pokemon stronger actually encourages catching the same Pokemon multiple times, which makes each encounter still feel rewarding even when you already have that Pokemon.
I mean, like, if you trick yourself into thinking that if you fuck the same hole over and over again it's more productive, does it actually make it more productive? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's like we're tricking people into believing they're actually accomplishing something when they're not.
It is a form of gamification where so correct me if any of you play this, but I believe you have to like continually pay for more balls or whatever mechanism lures. To
oh,
get
is
your
that
Pokemon
what happens
out.
Eventually? That's how it's freemium.
Yeah, so you don't have to pay for a version of the game. You just have to pay for the equipment in the game in order to be successful, which is how they make money. And by the way, they have made fucking money. 7.5 million downloads, and so far, daily revenue exceeding $1.6 million a day.
Daily. Wow.
I'm going to foreshadow a little bit here. I'm waiting for the day when somebody gets shot because they're trying to pull out their phone to see where a Pokemon is, and a cop thinks they're reaching for a weapon.
God. Well, people using the Pokemon Go app have already discovered dead bodies.
Yeah.
Walking around by accident. A few have caused severe traffic accidents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So stores are already putting up signs that say Pokemon are for paying customers only because kids are walking into like 7-Elevens and just walking around catching Pokemon.
That's awesome! Okay, I'm convinced now. It's going to fucking save the world. Jesus fucking Christ.
I do think it's a cool idea for a game.
And then the other thing that's happening is apparently there are only specific places where you can fight people. They're called like Pokemon gyms or something like that.
Yeah,
so
you
like
have to
one
be.
Of them is Farrag-
I tried to go and they told me I wasn't level 5, so I wasn't allowed to go in. I was like, what is this level privilege?
That's right. So one of them is Farragut Square in DC. So like all these nerds are out there today, you know, battling it up, but they're looking at each other with their phones, going, hi-yah, hi-yah, hi-yah. Anyway.
So it should be a nerd dating app, but really they're just too busy staring at their phones.
It could be. It could become that, by the way. There are many directions this can go. But the thing I was going to say is that in smaller towns, some of the most of the, what am I trying to say? The gyms are churches. So like this past weekend, church attendance was at an unusually high level for this time of year. And then also in towns that don't have prominent churches or where their maps couldn't figure it out, they're just random people's houses. So you get all these reports of people being like, why the fuck are these teenagers in my yard? Old people genuinely wanting kids to get off their lawn. And for good reason. Well, you know who else wants kids to get off their lawn? Hillary Clinton. And mostly she wants James Comey to get off her lawn.
That is
master of transitions, Michael. Just listen to the expert at work and you will learn.
All right.
This week, FBI Director James Comey announced that the Bureau would not recommend criminal charges against Hillary Clinton for her handling of classified documents and sensitive information, which she conducted on a private server during her time as Secretary of State. The end of the FBI's year-long investigation comes just weeks before the Democratic convention, during which Clinton is expected to become the party's nominee for president, but not all is well in Clinton town. Oh no. James Comey, in choosing not to recommend prosecution, had a lot of very harsh words for Hillary Clinton, not only in his statement, but also in his testimony to Congress. So the one that's obviously been thrown around is extremely careless. And this is the full quote. Although we did not find clear evidence that Secretary Clinton or her colleagues intended to violate laws governing the handling of classified information, there is evidence that they were extremely careless in their handling of very sensitive, highly classified information. So, gentlemen, what say you? Not a criminal, but does this disqualify her from being president of the United States?
All I know is if Tom Brady can get suspended for 4 games for being generally aware, and I don't even remember the rest of the fucking language, but this language is much less ambiguous and much more damning, and there's much more evidence. That's all I have to say.
Bring in Wells. Where's the Wells report on Hillary Clinton? That's funny.
But the Wells would get on his knees and bow to her. He would worship her. Fucking, I'm gonna get started.
So this is one of the things that you have to ask yourself in this situation. A woman running for president, or a man running for president, anyone running for president, who is extremely careless in the handling of very sensitive, highly classified information? Is that something we want, handling very sensitive, highly classified information for 4 years or 8 years?
Yeah, but I mean,
executive?
For 8 years, we've had somebody who thinks America should be torn down in favor of raising up third world countries. Do we want someone like that to be president? We fucking voted for him.
Yeah, but we don't get to reelect him again, so.
My point is, when have the American people ever voted off of anything rational?
True, Hillary does have a vagina, and that counters all arguments, so. I don't know. But it's kind of like the stupid or liar thing that Adam Carolla does. Either she's too dumb to be president or she's lying and therefore she shouldn't be president. I don't know.
Well, she's certainly benefiting from who she's running against.
Well, that's how the media is trying to spin it, because they know she's a fucking retard.
Well, that's what I don't get, is she doesn't seem to be... special needs.
That's a very polite way of saying that. No, she doesn't seem to be special needs, but at the same time, there have been questions about her judgment after the various health issues that she's had, and There's reports that she suffered a stroke at some point, which are unconfirmed, and that's just a rumor, so obviously you shouldn't judge her on that. But this is not a thing where it's like, you know, oops, she's clumsy.
Right. I find this hard to believe. I find it very hard to believe she didn't know that it was a bad idea to send classified information on it. And I didn't, in the article, it said she wasn't even using something as secure as Google. The article was like, to make things worse, there wasn't the server that this information was being stored on had not even a single full-time security staff.
Was she using
with this server?
Was she using Hotmail, or is she still on AOL Mail?
AOL. She installed her email with a CD that she got in the mail.
She was paying for it by the minute.
She's still on dial-up.
It's an indictment of the Obama administration that if she didn't know that she shouldn't be doing it, then it's a problem with the State Department as a whole.
That's why that IT staff member got fired for not teaching her how to do stuff.
Well, but that shouldn't be an IT staff member. That should be, I would think it would be a military person who understands the significance of the information that this civilian is about to get, who explains to them that they could be seriously putting the lives of Americans at risk by being careless with this information, and that it is criminal to do so.
Does the government understand yet that information in today's day and age is now part of warfare and military? Because, I think that's something we talked about. Daniel, you might not remember either because of podcast amnesia. But did we talk about that on the episode when North Korea hacked Sony and we were like, this is an act of war. Why isn't the government bombing the shit out of them right now?
I think we may have. I still think government treats information very cavalierly, especially in this administration. I mean, China basically has the largest security breach in American history. Basically what security experts called the equivalent of the bombing of Pearl Harbor in terms of information theft. And the Obama's administration reaction was, don't do it again.
Was that are you referring to the Caterpillar breach, or was it multiple? I'm familiar I know that Caterpillar was a huge breach.
Of actual government information. Like China stole all of the identities of every major CIA operative in the world with their fingerprint information, and there was this huge massive data breach that got virtually no news, and the Obama administration's response was basically to tell China hey, stop it, that's not nice, don't do that again.
What's the Caterpillar breach? Is that when they stole stuff and then it became a butterfly on their system, or is that they just stole digital copies of the Hungry Hungry Caterpillar, or is it the company Caterpillar lost a lot, the mechanical company,
the company Caterpillar? And they were pretty hush about it, and I happen to know somebody who was on the team that was working on this.
I happened to help somebody who was on the team clear out his desk afterwards.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't have a truck at the time, so he didn't call me. But.
So here's the most damning statement to me, which is a statement that got very little play compared to the extremely careless thing. But Comey actually said this, by the way. This is not speculation. He said this live on television. Quote,
"It's Saturday night."
Hilarious. To be clear, this is not to suggest that in similar circumstances, a person engaged in this activity would face no consequences. To the contrary, those individuals are often subject to security or administrative sanctions, but that's not what we are deciding here. What the fuck did he just say?
I think he started with "let me be clear," didn't he?
To be clear, yes, but he said to be clear and then went on to be completely not clear. But essentially what this translates to, if I'm going to be really liberal with this, is other people who do this get put in prison, but this is Hillary Clinton, therefore I don't want to end up fucking dead. and we're not going to prosecute. I mean, that's being over the top. But
I don't think he wants to worry about end up fucking dead. I think he wants to end up having to fucking Bill.
Yes, indeed. So this was a radical statement to me. Even if you're recommending not prosecuting, why would you put this part in this statement? Why would you put this section where you say, yeah, basically someone else doing the exact same shit, they'd be punished. But we're not going to punish her.
Well, because you're looking at it from a rational perspective. He's looking at it as not wanting to lose his power. So basically he's putting that in there as a caveat to say this is the exception, not the rule. And he, because of his perspective, he's taking that as solidifying his power. But you're looking at it from a rational perspective where you're looking at this case. Do you get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying in sort of abstract way. In an abstract way, I just cannot concretize that in my head. Because
it seems to me that he's admitting that there is no objective law where this is concerned. What he's saying is what we all already know. It depends on who you are more than what you do with regards to many of these new issues. I mean, it's certainly the case with antitrust law. It has much less to do with what you do and more to do with who you are doing it and how much you've spent in lobbying.
Absolutely. And you know what? I can almost get behind that idea of it's more about who you are than what you do. Except that I want the exact inverse of what happens here. I want government officials, especially people in cabinet positions with highly sensitive classified information, to be held to an even higher standard than the general public. I want people like Secretary Clinton, who acted extremely carelessly, to be prosecuted on those grounds alone, because they're the ones we put in positions and give the power of the gun, the power of government. And they're the ones who are acting recklessly and getting away with it when people doing far less than that are being prosecuted or, in fact, to allude to our next story, shot.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was the first thing I was going to say. You've provided the perfect transition into the next story, because that's not how it works. The people in power are always the ones who are most immune to, you know, objectivity, criticism. And that leads me to my second point, which Michael asked pre-show if we were planning on talking shit about Roger Goodell. No, I was not, but is there better evidence of what you're complaining about than Roger Goodell, Daniel?
Yeah, Hillary Clinton. That would be the better evidence.
Done! But that's the end of the story. That's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing more you could say about this story.
Okay, so now it's time to talk about the big story, obviously, of the past week, which is, of course, this horrifying epidemic, this disproportionate attack where police officers are over the top in a way that is 100% disproportionately shooting and killing men.
Thank you for that, by the way. I appreciate that, Daniel. Nobody talks about that, where it's like, what is it, like over 400 men have been killed and 25 women have been killed? And no one says one word about that?
Yeah, since we're talking about disproportionate police shootings, we should bring up that this year, so far this year, 515 people have been shot and killed by the police, and 95% of them have been men. Yet men make up fewer than half the population of the planet. When are we going to stop this war on men, Michael? When are we going to stop it?
As soon as we recognize that it exists.
Okay, so I'm being coy. I wanted to do that little sort of deeply dark joke as we actually delve into what is a fairly serious topic here. The police shooting
issue... You said dark, really, leading into this? You said dark.
It's a little dark. It was a little dark humor. It wasn't very light.
wow.
See what I'm doing there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So,
the issue cat, that... The cats thought it was funny.
I'm not. That's what I get is pussy laughter. Yeah. That's what I'm after. So here's the issue. This
was
week.
They obviously also shot a gorilla this year. I don't know if
really.
I mean, gorillas you guys just... Well, I'm just saying 500 and whatever shootings. And one was a gorilla, and I do not think gorillas make up 1/500th of the population.
Are you guys
not
just
even close?
You're just picking the things that are going to make people think we're racists.
Yeah. Hello.
You lead with gorilla
here at the Midside. That's right. So
makes up for my Mexican rant last episode.
There were two highly prominent shootings of black men by police officers, one of which was live streamed.
The aftermath was live streamed.
And then, of course, there was also a shooting of some white guy that no one cares about in almost an exact same manner. But
yeah, the 19-year-old.
Yeah, don't worry about it. No one cares. So
I want to ask you about, before you continue, the word prominent. Why did you pick that word?
Why did I pick that word?
Yeah.
Because it was that.
Yeah, why though? Why did it become prominent? That's my question.
Social media.
Okay, continue.
Okay, thank you. There are many angles to this story that we could discuss. The one I think we're going to use to frame this, other than getting into the specific questions about race and police and abuse, is the issue of force and law. Because this is actually an issue that I think is getting a bit underplayed, even within the libertarian, or maybe not within the libertarian community, but certainly within the conservative circles who only want to jump up to protect the police officers in all cases, which I think is an equal mistake to jumping up and crying racism in every case. So this was an article that actually came out on June 27th of this year, so a bit before this happened, in The Atlantic. The article is entitled, "Enforcing the Law is Inherently Violent." And the subtitle is, "A Yale professor suggests that oft-ignored truths should inform debates about what statutes and regulations to codify." And here's a quote from Stephen L. Carter, who is a Yale law professor. He writes, "Law professors and lawyers instinctively shy away from considering the problem of law's violence. Every law is violent. We try not to think about this, but we should. On the first day of law school, I tell my contracts students never to argue for invoking the power of law except in a case for which they are willing to kill. They are suitably astonished and often annoyed, but I point out that even a breach of contract requires a judicial remedy. And if the breacher will not pay damages, the sheriff will sequester his house and goods. And if he resists the forced sale of his property, the sheriff may have to shoot him." This is astounding to me to hear this sort of thing from someone who's not an objectivist.
Me too. I was amazed that a Yale professor wrote. I was amazed and pleased to hear a Yale professor wrote that.
Yeah, we're not just talking not an objectivist. We're talking like Ivy League, ivory tower.
Right.
Like, it's if there's ever been a sign of like, hey, maybe things aren't so hopeless, this is it.
I thought the same thing. I thought, wow, that is dead on. It is exactly right, and it's a very good illustration of of how to think about laws, enforcing laws, and writing new laws in particular.
Absolutely. And before we continue the discussion, I just want to read the next bit because it's perfect and it'll set up exactly what we're going to talk about in these cases.
No interruption.
Okay. Is your show
rank? And if you don't stop, he will shoot you.
What's your interruption, Justin?
I was kidding. It was a troll.
Oh, Jesus.
And then I'm interrupted.
Okay. The professor continues, "This is by no means an argument against having laws. It is an argument for a degree of humility as we choose which of the many things we may not like to make illegal. Behind every exercise of law stands the sheriff or the SWAT team or, if necessary, the National Guard. Is this an exaggeration? Ask the family of Eric Garner, who died as a result of a decision to crack down on the sale of untaxed cigarettes. That's the crime for which he was being arrested. Yes, yes, the police were the proximate cause of his death, but the crackdown was a political decree." That is a perfect setup for discussing these shootings and the angle that I think is underplayed on these issues. The three shootings from this past weekend, the two black men and the one white dude who no one cares about, we're not going to discuss, were all basically stopped for asinine traffic violations that, or two of them were stopped for asinine traffic violations that basically are only a means for the police to extort money out of people. The one guy who was shot that where it was live streamed, he was stopped for having a tail light out, and he died. The white guy had a, I think it was speeding, and then the other guy was, I believe, like loitering or something outside of a building. That case is getting a little less clear. That's the Alton shooting out of Baton Rouge. That one's coming a little less clear exactly what happened. But essentially, these are all nonviolent crimes where, as a result of these stupid laws, they ended up in interactions with police officers that escalated to the point of them dying. Is this necessary? Is this the kind of society we want to set up where we are willing to kill over the most minute nonsense that exists on the planet? Traffic lights, or I'm sorry, brake lights being out, speeding. We're willing to use the force of the state to make sure that these right. laws are followed to the
right.
books.
Right. And people, as a public education teacher, I'm keenly aware of being given a task by the public at large, and I know I'm treading on irrational language here, but that can't a job that can't be done. Too much responsibility is placed on police officers. They are involved in every walk of life for some people, and they're being called to come to homes and settle disputes that are so minute and right, and people aren't realizing that what they're calling is the person who carries the gun, the person in the community who carries the gun. That's what separates them from your neighbor.
Yeah.
We are continually asking for more and more from our government, from our police force, from the whole government. We want more and more of our lives to be their responsibility. And it's asinine and it's impossible. And it's hard for me to believe that anyone is really thinking about what they're asking, in this case, a police officer, to manage in a day. A force of 100 or 200 police officers who are expected to be marriage counselors and drug counselors and also law enforcement officers who are going to protect us from actually violent people who need to be taken care of. And they also need to be very racially and gender and whatever else sensitive while they do it, because at any given time they could be being recorded, and they are representing the entire police force. So they're also being asked to be ambassadors on top of all of the other things they're being asked to do. And they're just kids who aren't even that highly trained and who aren't necessarily brilliant.
Well,
Not necessarily. It's not a job requirement.
Well, actually, I think I know. Daniel, right. Are you going to talk about the story we covered here in the Midside?
Yes, right, in fact, they are forbid from being geniuses.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, there are some police departments that have an IQ ceiling. Like, right. You cannot be smarter than such and such IQ to be a police officer. So.
Right. So I find it hard to believe that anyone's really thinking about it and thinking it's okay to continue with the line of thought that there's something wrong with our society and the government's got to fix it. Because it's ridiculous. There's so many things we're already asking them to fix.
Yeah, but what's the key word you said in there? Thinking. You actually raised the point that I was going to raise much later on, but since we're already there... It's 100% disconnect from reality. What makes right. the Yale professor so incredible is he's grounding what he's teaching on the first day in reality, which is right. what you should do. You know, that's what I do when I teach writing. It's saying, hey, the purpose of this is to understand reality and to assign meaning to reality. But what you have to understand is what you're always writing about is reality. And the same thing here with law is he's saying, yeah, you're negotiating all these contracts, but what you need to understand is it's always just a representation of reality. It's symbolic of reality. But what's happened is the government is intervening on our behalf with reality. They are now our buffer. So these people don't think about what are the consequences in reality of my actions. And we see this with the way people are interacting with the cops and with the way cops are interacting with them. We've got two people on either side who don't know how to deal with these situations in reality, right? So Daniel, something we've talked about is when a cop pulls you over, what should you do when a cop pulls you over? What should you do?
You should be exceedingly compliant mm-hmm. with whatever the police officer says. No matter what your race, no matter if you're 100% right and the police officer is 100% wrong, for the simple reason that in the field, in that situation, in that given moment, the police officer can kill you
right.
for right. anything.
Right, and that is the most rational way to protect your life in that situation. That is the only rational yes. course of action. So in the case of the guy who his girlfriend live streamed the aftermath, if you have a gun that you can legally carry in one pocket or on one hip, and on the other hip you have your license, you don't fucking put either of your hands anywhere near either of your hips. You put your hands fucking out the window, or you say, please open the car door so I can get out and lay on the ground and you can take my gun. You do not go anywhere near those hips because you don't give that guy any chance to shoot. Because you know what people aren't talking about with that video? That guy did not want to shoot him. Besides the fact that they're not talking about the fact that it was an Asian who shot him. Oh, convenient. It's white people who hate black people. Oh, no, it was an Asian guy who shot him. He didn't want to. If you hear the video afterwards, the woman that when she's live streaming has her hands in the air. And the guy, obviously shaken, says, put your hands in the air. And she's like, why'd you shoot him? He was just reaching for his license. He told you that. And he was like, I didn't want to shoot him. He was going for his gun. And you can tell he's about to cry and he's afraid his whole life is over. So you've got two people on either side who aren't approaching reality because they've had reality. They've had an intermediary with reality for them. And this is the first time in their life they've dealt with reality. It's not a surprise it ends up with somebody with their eye shot out, as your parents say. You know, you'll shoot your eye out.
It's a horrible, horrible situation for everyone involved. And agreed, the one thing that people aren't talking about that Justin alluded to in that video is the cop is crying.
Yeah.
Like, the cop is clearly distraught.
Oh, so you did watch it.
He didn't get glee out of this. I did. I listened to it. I listened to it on the Adam Carolla show.
Oh, okay. Well, good. I'm glad that you did that. Because do you see why I wanted you to listen to it now?
Yeah, because it's not like he was, spouting racial epithets
right.
and jumping up and down for joy that he'd shot a black guy.
Right.
He was bawling his eyes out.
He's like, gotta catch all those N-words.
God. Indeed. That's a different augmented reality. he was bawling his eyes out. He was distraught. He was shaken. He didn't know maybe in that moment that he made a mistake, but I think he had an inclination that he knew that he had done wrong. And it's not like there was some vindictive, horrible, racist, white, southerner, good old boy cop. This was an Asian guy, by the way, not widely reported, who fucked up. And he knew it.
Right.
And it cost him his life. And we shouldn't put cops in. Because cops are humans and because the force of the law is legally given to them, we should put them in as few of those situations as possible.
Right.
There should have been no reason for him to be in that situation right. in the first place, pulling out because he had a broken taillight out. Who gives a shit? No victim, no crime. Period.
Right.
Well, the philosophy is that you find, isn't it that you take any opportunity possible to search citizens in the hopes that you'll find something wrong that they're doing.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the idea of pulling someone over with a taillight or for loitering or for it's whoever that New York cop was who started that idea. And
well,
I think I said that to you, Daniel, didn't I? This week? That they pull people over with the hope of finding something else in the car?
Right.
Yes, it is absolutely that. And even if it's not that, I mean, that's insidious enough in and of itself.
It's sick.
But even if it's not that, there, the other side of it, which is insidious, is it's a revenue generator. We need to pull people over so that we can pay the police officer salary for pulling people over.
Well, I mean, in Chicago, the people who write tickets, they are not police officers for parking. They are not police officers. And by the way, in Chicago, you almost never get pulled over for speeding or traffic violations because those guys are busy with other stuff.
You mean black people shooting other black people?
How dare you? That never happens.
Well, actually, when we left, two innocent bystanders had just been killed by stray bullets in the neighborhood where I taught. One was a little girl, and one was a lady who was grocery shopping and was sitting in her car. So anyway, the people who write parking tickets drive around in vehicles that have a big sticker on the side, a big decal on the side that says Department of Revenue.
Oh my god! It's not a fucking Atlas Shrugged. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's pretty...
if Ayn Rand had written that, they would have said it's too on the nose.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No kidding.
That's what people would have said.
But Daniel, I think there's. I agree with everything that's being said, but I think in order to make this point stronger, we have to address the racial point, and we have to acknowledge where it's true and acknowledge where it's completely fucking off the reservation, because that's going to be people's rebuttal to this. Is they're going to say, "Oh, well, yeah, that's all well and good, but really, it's the culture of racism that makes this really bad," because that's the story that's being reported here. It's not police brutality. It's black people are being killed. That's the story.
Yeah.
Which proves systemic racism in America, apparently.
Well, you also have a good portion of social justice people who would prefer that the cops not have guns at all. So that's the other danger with this argument. It's important to say, yes, the gun is the end of the legal argument, and it should be. Yes, it's scary, and I like how he said it, we should approach it with humility, but it is the right and necessary end of the argument.
Yes.
Right, because there are certain people that can't be reasoned with is the end of that argument. Yes.
Yes.
Well, to protect people who are innocent, I believe the police absolutely need guns because their rights would be violated if we allowed the criminals to run around with guns.
Right.
And the police not to.
Right.
So there are many angles to start here, but let's start with some facts. First of all, well, I mean, what are we talking about in general in police shootings? So last year, 2015, the Washington Post started collecting numbers for police shootings, and there were just under 1,000 total police shootings, meaning police shot and killed someone in the United States, just under 1,000. This year, we're on par to break that number, but so far, we're at 515 as of today. This is from the Washington Post. This is their database on police shootings, which you can get to through a quick Google search.
Well, we link to it on the podcast page too, so it's in the links.
So clearly, I would much prefer if the police were not shooting people, you know, in the field, and we could arrest everyone, and you know, that would be all fine and well. But the reality is, it happens. So let's look at another statistic here.
Well, and before you continue,
there's
also knife kills logged in here, too. There's like 88 knife kills or something, too. So it's not just guns.
Yes. So here's first, but let's just talk about guns because people like to. of the 515 people shot and killed by a police officer, how many of them were wielding a weapon at the police officer? I mean, not a weapon, a gun specifically. People were wielding a gun at the police officer. 285 of them.
Whew, that's 50, over half.
55%.
That's math.
So we can already cut that number in half. When you talk about wielding a knife, that's another 90 are wielding a knife. So 55% plus 17% is some amount of people percent. but we're starting to get into small
it's over
fractions
70,
of numbers
isn't it?
Here.
Yeah, it's over 70.
Yeah. So 36 people were using their vehicle as a weapon against a police officer, and that's an additional 7%. So 24 plus 55, 69%, almost 70% now.
I mean, I always say that a car is the most dangerous weapon there is, so.
Yeah. So here we go. So of these 515, let's say 69 to 70% of them, there is some just cause. Not really up for debate here. If someone is pointing a gun at the police officer or if someone is using a weapon against a police officer, just you're fucking done. There's no way I can defend you in that case. Maybe you are innocent. Maybe you shouldn't have been shot, but you're threatening a police officer. What do you expect?
Well, the phrase is suicide by cop. That's right.
Yes, absolutely. So in almost 70% of the cases, so now we're getting down to a minuscule number of people shot. Now, clearly, it would be a utopia world if no one was being shot in those situations, but it is what it is. Now let's talk about, is there some sort of horrifying... Now, we're talking about, remember, a small number here, small number. How many of these people are white? If you had asked me this prior to me looking at these statistics, like, I was literally blown away by the statistics, which are from the Washington Post, again. 46% of the people shot and killed by police officers are white.
You're talking 46%. Out of the 515 who were shot or killed, yes. Shot or stabbed by police
this
officers.
Year. Yeah, you're not talking about last year.
No, this year.
Okay.
Yeah, what's the number?
46%. 239 people.
Jesus.
239 people. How many of them were black? 124. 24%. So this is where we start getting into the question of, is this a racial epidemic? So black Americans make up, 17, do you remember the number?
17%?
No,
it's
have it
smaller
here.
Than that.
No, Hispanics are 17% and blacks are 12.3%.
Oh, 12.3. Okay.
12.3%. So the argument here that you hear very specifically used, especially from Hillary Clinton as of late, is that blacks are 2 to 2.5 times more likely to be shot by police officers than whites. That's what you hear based on these statistics.
That's as made up as 1 in 4 women will be raped in college. It's a completely false statistic. It's the same thing. It's a scare tactic.
I mean, you could say that it's a true statistic from a very narrow point of view, which is, again, one, we're not talking about some Holocaust of black men in the United States, because we're talking about 124 people here. That's 24% of the people. And then two, the thing you don't see talked about, or you do and you see it downplayed, is that, yes, these numbers don't correspond totally with racial makeup of the United States. And by the way, we get ourselves into a bizarre situation if we want them to, right?
Because right.
We'd be advocating for more Asians to be shot.
Well, it doesn't make... It should be based on the percentage of crimes committed.
What?
Right. Which, in which case, in which case, I'm guessing... Well, I'm not going to say it. I assume you have these numbers. Do you have those?
I absolutely
those
have
yeah,
these.
Well, before you do those numbers, Daniel, what I want to point out is Hispanics and blacks together are 29% of the population, according to a census that's, again, linked to here in the podcast page. So 29% of the population, and 39% of deaths by police brutality. So that's a 10% difference. So there is a statistical relevance to that difference, the 10%. The question is, where does it come from, which is what Michael is alluding to, and I think you're about to give statistics on that.
Yes. So we're talking, the statistics that we're looking at here is distribution of violent crimes over race. So we're not talking about nonviolent crimes like selling of drugs unless they used a gun or breaking and entering without the use of a weapon, something like that. We're talking about violent crimes.
Trading insider information.
Yes, that kind of violence.
Using Hotmail for government secrets.
Free software with your computers.
Horribly violent crimes, yes. So total violent crimes, percent committed by white people, this is for 2012 to 2013, which is the latest numbers I could find.
Are these based on convictions?
I don't have that. I just have that is the Bureau of Justice Statistics National Crime Victimization Survey 2012 to 2013.
Okay.
That's what I have. That is the exact reference. So total violent crimes... Percent committed by white people, 42.9%, 43%, essentially. How many white people were shot by cops again?
46%.
46%. Pretty fucking close. Total committed by black men, violent crimes, 22.4%. How many black men were shot by the police in 2015 so far? Someone want to remind me? It's 24%. So just a tad higher. Hispanic, 14.8% violent crime. And then they're so disparate that you just have to put into other is the other category, which is 12.1%. So when you look, like Michael said, at the actual distribution of fatal police shootings versus percentage of crimes committed by race, they line up almost exactly.
So where does that 10% difference come in between the police brutality suffered by blacks and Hispanics at 39% and the distribution of the population being 29% black and Hispanic?
Where does it come in?
Yeah, why? What explains it? What explains the 10% difference there? Anything?
I don't know. I don't know what explains.
Well, there's all kinds of correlating numbers. I mean, lack of education, poverty.
Yeah, absolutely.
Drug use, all of those.
Right. So is that resulting in them having a higher violent crime rate within their population versus white people within their population? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I would say yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are all
indicators
of crime.
Yeah. I just want to make that explicit.
Absolutely. So, and to put a cap on this, because, you know, we can do our own data all day long, and we're going to get tweets that are like, oh, you didn't look at this, and you didn't look at this. Well, this is from the New York Times today, the day we're recording this, July 11th. Surprising new evidence shows bias in police use of force, but not in shootings. Yes. So, the article begins, a new study confirms that black men and women are treated differently in the hands of law enforcement. They are more likely to be touched, handcuffed, pushed to the ground, or pepper sprayed by a police officer, even after accounting for how, where, and when they encounter the police. But when it comes to the most lethal form of force, police shootings, the study finds no racial bias. Roland G. Fryer Jr., the author of the study and a professor of economics at Harvard, says, "It is the most surprising result of my career." Roland is a black man, by the way. So this article goes extensively into how they figured this out, what they used to codify it. But they looked at 1,000 police shootings across the United States and found that there is actually no disparity based on race in terms of police shootings, which is exactly what we found out using our much less scientific method.
Right. Well, right. Really, it should be encounters with the police. But it was what I was thinking when we were looking through it, is really the danger of being shot isn't after you're convicted. It's when you encounter the police.
Yes, absolutely. So what can we say then about racial disparity in terms of police encounters? Just what this article says, that yes, black people are more likely to be accosted by the police. That is a bad thing. The question is it a systemic racist thing? Is it a thing because more black people are committing crimes? Is it a mixture of the above? Is it because we are fashioning laws that unfairly target black communities,
or
like drug laws, for instance?
I mean, that's,
which I think do unfairly target black communities.
Yeah, that's highly possible. Can I put forward another theory?
Yeah.
Is it because for black men especially, there's a high emphasis in their culture put on preening and acting hypermasculine?
I wouldn't necessarily phrase it exactly like you did, but I see what you're getting at. But there is a really...
That was me trying not to come across as racist, is what that was.
But there is a huge chasm between how black men are taught to interact with police officers and how white men are taught to interact with police officers.
Right, I mean, where the fuck the police come from? It didn't come from white rap, you know what I mean?
It didn't come from whitey.
It wasn't fucking nerdcore. MC Chris isn't out there like, fuck the police.
Right, exactly. And so there's all that analysis, and then there's the Adam Carolla common sense analysis, which came on the Adam and Dr. Drew show today.
I haven't listened yet. Come on.
Well, you're about to hear it, which is the cry of racism falls flat on its face in a very simple, common sense way of looking at it, which is this idea of, if this is racism, it is the most select, nonsensical, illogical form of racism that could possibly exist, for the mere fact that police are apparently only shooting black men. Why aren't they shooting black women at the racists? Why aren't they shooting black children? Why aren't they shooting Hispanics? Not dark enough for them? Why aren't they shooting Eastern Indians who are as dark? It has nothing to do with racism, and it has everything to do with the culture of horrible laws that we put in place, and it has to do with the fact that we've created laws that disparately affect black communities and families, and it has to do with the fact that we are not interested in decriminalizing any of this nonsense, but in fact passing more and more,
more laws
so that more people will be affected and will create more of these situations so that there will be, can only possibly be more police shootings.
Well, I do think, as far as the men issue, men are probably scarier to police than women are. I mean, I think that in these shootings,
I agree with that, are
probably more often a result of a person being scared than of them being hateful. Not that that can't be racism. I mean, it may be that, that black men are scarier to white police. And that, I mean, I suppose would be a form of racism.
Is it a form of racism or is it a form of profiling?
Well, I just know a lot of cops who are totally racist. I mean, I just think that, but I don't, I hate the framing of the argument, but I don't necessarily disagree. Yes, if you pick, if you put a cap on the IQ, if you make the shittiest job in the world and then put a cap on the IQ, yeah, maybe you will get a bunch of ignorant racist people thrown in the mix. Certainly not to say that all of them are, and certainly
of
not
course.
Say that many of them are fine, well,
upstanding is the word you're
upstanding?
Looking for.
I'm trying to describe their thinking. Many of them are good at thinking. That's what I'm trying to say. Better at thinking than
ladies
I.
Ladies and gentlemen,
right
he does not teach critical thinking or communication.
That's true. Anyway.
Yes, all that is true. You say that, but I mean, I've met racist lawyers, and
sure.
I've met racist doctors, and my grandfather.
And he's met racist podcast hosts.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Many. And my grandfather is one of the smartest men I ever knew, was a self-proclaimed open racist.
I always look forward to the FISA giggle, which happens at least once each show.
But here's the thing, which is Adam Carolla's sort of common sense point, is it makes no sense for them to be racist, but then target 95% men only. And Adam uses the reductio ad Hitlerum, which I don't necessarily agree with, but in this
yes.
case it was sort of humorous.
Yes.
Which basically says, did you see Hitler rounding up Jewish men?
Yeah.
Hitler rounded up Jews.
Yeah.
He didn't care if they were 2 feet tall, 7 feet tall, men, women, old, young, dark skin, light skin, Jews, oven. There you go. That's racism. That's what we're talking about.
Because you need the women to breed those inferior types.
Thank you for
yes.
clarifying.
We all needed that, Justin. Thank you.
Yep.
So, there we go. That ends one of the more controversial segments we've ever done on the Midside here.
Yep.
But
glad I was here for it.
You're all better off for it. We know what's good for you, America.
Dude, we're going to force it down your throats. Wait, what?
Hmm.
All right, you want to talk about some movies and shit?
Oh, God, please.
All right, it's time for The Hope for Romantic with JML. I'm going to start out with a quick review here, and I'm mainly doing this review because Daniel says I'm never that harsh on movies. And he's like, you never give anything. Go ahead.
You did give Civil War like what, a 7?
Was it a 7?
It was a 7, I think.
Yeah. Daniel said a 7?
Okay.
Fucking shocked. Yes.
I did not watch that movie, by the way. I would just like to say that.
All of Justin's reviews are shades of 7. Is what we should just call his review system. 7, 7.5,
I like what you said, though, Justin. I mean, production-wise, I can watch any of those movies and
right.
I mean, yeah. If you're comparing them to, like, a home video, yeah, it was definitely a 7. It was a solid 7. I haven't even seen it, and I know it was.
All right, then. So, knowing that, I am going to give a sub-5 review here.
Wow!
Oh.
So I saw
the lower half of the scale.
You're going to get a bump in your listenership after that comment.
So I'm
People
giving
are tune in.
I'm giving The Last Airbender, written,
timely.
Directed. Yeah, I know.
Written, what did you think of Free Willy 2?
Can I finish?
Like 7.25. You know, not that great.
How'd you know?
It looks like they used more than one camera.
I couldn't even tell it was a stunt whale. Okay. So
yeah, but there were no black people or women starring in that movie, so
racist.
Of course the black whale, the mainly black whale is a killer whale. What the fuck?
Yeah. Of course they cast a black whale as a killer whale.
Dying.
Wow. Well, I just want everyone to recognize how fruitful the Free Willy reference was.
Okay, so can I shit on this movie?
With a name like Willy. Okay.
So, yes, I had nothing to watch. So I was like, oh, let me go back on my list here of things I need to watch. So I pulled out my unopened The Last Airbender Blu-ray that I got for like $5 at Walmart. And I was like, oh, let me see if I can defend M. Night Shyamalan, whatever the fuck his name is. No, I cannot.
Bad movie?
Yeah. So, oh, you haven't seen it? I expected you to have seen it because you watched the cartoon.
No, Fiza told me it was a shitty movie.
Okay, yeah. So the first thing I'm going to caution on here is, Daniel, you well know I have a problem with the cartoon that I had had difficulty watching it because it jumped all over the place. It wasn't very integrated.
I know you did. It's because you have bad taste. But go ahead.
Right.
Yes.
It's very video game esque. So I had a problem with that. So I do think that Shyamalan faced the challenge adapting this to begin with. So I do forgive him a little bit for that. He also. It's a kid's thing, so he had a challenge with that. But the main problem I had with this movie is twofold. One, the dialogue is fucking awful. It's purely expositional, and it's completely stilted. Like, it was very difficult to hear everyone talk. And then 90% of the time, I had no idea what the fuck was going on. I was like, why?
90?
Yeah, 90.
Okay.
Well, the 10% that I knew what was going on is the same stuff I liked in the series. I liked Prince Zuko's plot a lot in the series. I thought it was compelling, and it was done well in the movie, and Dev Patel played it, and he played it very well. And then two other things I liked about this. One, there were visually creative shots, so I appreciated that. And two, since this is an older movie, there were people in it that I was like, oh, that's where that girl came from. Like... Bradley from Bates Motel was in it. She played, what's her name, Katara. And then Lourdes from Falling Skies was in it. And she played, like, the princess. And when both those actresses were on those shows, I was like, where did they come from? And now I know where they came from.
Hooray.
All right.
So what do you rate it? What do you actually rate it?
Oh, I didn't give that already? I give it a 4.
You said sub-5.
Yeah, I give it a 4 out of 10. And I give it a 4 for the reasons I said. Dev Patel, the visually creative.
God. What would your one be? Like, just a snuff film of, like, a guy beating off over a dead body? Like, finally be a one?
I give Atlas Shrugged a 1.
That's true. That was a fairly shitty movie.
The first one is pretty bad, yeah. And, I mean, I think the third one might be a 1. We'll have to do a retrospective on those someday.
Oh, God, let's not.
Yeah. By the way, did you see someone posted, maybe it was in the Ocon group, asking if anyone's ever done it? On the film?
Like a full analysis?
Yeah.
Oh. Please don't let us be that podcast.
It might be.
Oh, God.
All right, do you want to talk about...
It's not worth doing an analysis over.
Here's the analysis. There's no theme or plot.
Right.
Okay. Excellent.
And it's just too great a crime to mention to make that movie like that.
Might accidentally encourage other people to watch it.
Yeah. Please don't watch it. Good God.
All right, I told you I wasn't going to do my reviews. I'm going to do them now, but I'm going to do them in 30 seconds.
Okay.
Like both of them. So All or Nothing is the NFL's reality show that premiered on Amazon Prime. It follows the Arizona Cardinals throughout last season. It's the most naturalistic bullshit nonsense you will ever watch on television. Do not watch it. Basically, it's every episode is, we're great. Oh, just kidding, we're terrible. Nope, we're great. That is every single goddamn episode of the entire show. And it's just a bunch. It's like they didn't even edit. They just took all the film they had and threw it on the screen because it's fucking boring as shit. So don't watch that. Do watch a show that is over that Fiza and I sort of binge-watched once we found it, which is called Gravity Falls, which is a Disney XD show, animated show, about two twins who spend the summer with their great uncle, or as they call him, Grunkle, Stan, in Mystery Falls, which has all this weird shit going on. And the best way I can describe the show is it is Lost for kids.
Ooh.
It is an intricate plot with twists and really cool integrated reveals that have an overall storyline. And the creator of the show did two seasons, and he said, I'm not doing any more seasons because that's all the show we have, and it ends perfectly. It's what Lost could have been if it was shorter and had a lot more fart jokes and pig jokes.
And didn't, does it end in a church?
It does not end in a church.
Thank God.
It means it's already better. Okay. But do watch Gravity Falls.
I've heard about this show, and I was ignoring it, but you made the Lost comparison, so is it on Netflix?
Or Hulu, one of the two. There all is right. A time travel character.
Ooh.
So, yeah. All right, you know how to sell to me. All right.
Yep.
All right, do you want to take down some trailers, guys?
Quickly.
Yeah.
All right.
You didn't like any of those trailers? I don't know what takedown trailers means.
Oh, no.
Were those all trailers that are bad to you?
No. Are the segment name, which Justin is supposed to be making a sound effect for, is Trailer Takedown.
Oh, I didn't know I was assigned to do that.
Some of them you like, you just choose to take down some of them. Others,
it's not even, not put down, take down. Like we're tackling them, like we're just...
Lovingly, sometimes.
Trailer summary, Michael.
Sometimes lovingly. Sometimes it's just when you wrestle because you want to hug another person.
Yes, it's like all when right. You're in middle school and you have those confused feelings.
Okay.
When you're wrestling with your friends, it's like that.
Okay, I don't need to hear about your guys' undergrad experience.
I said middle school.
All right. I know you
I
did. That was, hug. A, that was a club.
I know Daniel doesn't like to hug.
Not a hugger.
Okay. I like to hug, so...
All right. Like first
trailer hug down.
Wow. Okay. First trailer. This is a promo for Donald Glover's show for FX, Atlanta. It's called Wake Up, and it's a series of shots of him waking up.
I thought it
Donald
was...
Glover plays a narcoleptic.
Yeah. What? Donald Glover remakes Memento. But forgets to leave any post-its on the trailer to explain what the hell is going on to the people who are watching it.
Justin, can you give us any more information about this? Seriously, the trailer is 45 seconds of him waking up
right.
In different places.
And they seem to be getting progressively worse, but then there's a slight uptick before it really gets bad.
Yeah, it's about his struggle as a rap artist in Atlanta. Not, I mean, his character struggle.
Oh,
he's not from Atlanta.
Yeah, I can totally see that. can't fucking see that.
All right, terrible. I'm excited for the show, but it's a shitty trailer, so we are putting this one down.
Putting it down, not in a loving way. Either.
Right, we're not putting it down by the fire to make love to it. We're just putting it down.
Putting it down like you would an old dog.
By the way, this is the new dichotomy. It's trailer takedown, and you have to tell us if you put down the trailer or you hug down the trailer. Put down is bad, and hug down is good.
If you put it down like an old dog, or if you wrestle hugged it because you were looking for human affection. All right.
Because you
want to
rub
you guys
your boner
want
on it.
With.
Yeah.
That's what we're going with. All right. Sing, official trailer number 2. And I saw this one in theaters when I saw Finding Dory. So
thought
I'm interested in what you guys are thinking of it.
Yeah, I'm with Michael there. It's It's not really my kind of animated movie because it incorporates popular culture, which I hate in its entirety. But that being said, some of the writing was actually quite clever, which usually those kinds of movies don't have. So,
and
I'll probably watch
how
it.
There were so many different animals.
The cow goes moo.
It wasn't all one animal. It was all kinds of different animals.
It was like a Zootopia.
It was.
It was indeed like a Zootopia. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw the trailer in theaters, I was like, really? They're just going to do American Idol, the movie with animals? And then as I kept watching it, I was like, oh, wow, that's actually mildly entertaining.
I thought it was weird that all of the singing characters are non-singing actors, and none of the singers got any credits.
Egalitarianism. All right, last trailer here.
Is it because all... Okay, go ahead.
Nerve, which is a movie about social media gone wild, it seems. It stars, I can't remember her
Justin's
name.
Justin's man crush.
Yeah. Well, it stars Dave Franco, but it stars, what's her name? Emma Robertson, right?
Yeah.
Related to Julia Robertson. And basically, there's a game that you can play on your phone where you're either a watcher or a player. And if you're a player, you have to do what the watchers tell you to do. And Emma Robertson decides to play this game to, like, you know, expand her horizons. And then she meets Dave Franco, and she's told to go off with Dave Franco, which worse things could happen to you, let's be serious. You could be forced to go off with James Franco, and you'd automatically lose the game.
You'd end up stuck in a rock somewhere with your legs stuck. Yeah.
Now we understand why he had to cut his arm off. He was playing the game.
You'd end up trying to assassinate the leader of North Korea. It'd be terrible.
You'd end up trying to marry Bryan Cranston's daughter.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, man.
So when I saw this trailer and movies, I was like, oh, wow, this looks like a pretty interesting premise. Like, this is creative. This is, like, what spawns good movies nowadays when they take things that are real and they, you know, they make them, you know, exaggerated. And then you see it interact with people who it's going to affect them deeply psychologically. And then Dave Franco was introduced in the trailer, and I was like, sold. I'm there opening day.
I thought it looked great. Yeah. I honestly, I thought it was about Pokemon Go. But, I'm glad to hear. Now that I've heard your analysis of the trailer, I understand that I was wrong.
In a rare moment, all three commentators want to actually see a movie.
Wow.
This is incredible.
And what a coincidence. Dave Franco's in it. Your move, Hollywood.
here's my thing. It looks interesting. I'm not a naturalist, but I did think to myself in the trailer, if this was actually people on the internet, wouldn't the first thing they say to these two is be like, get her to try anal?
Yes.
Well, no,
blow him.
Yeah, the first thing they would do is say, put shoe on head. And then after that, they would say, blow him.
Like, if it was really people on the internet, it would just be a bunch of crazed perverts wanting to jerk it to
these
two, right?
Yeah. Also, if you were really trying to find a stranger to kiss, you wouldn't be able to find Dave Franco. So, I mean, how deep do you want to go down this line of thinking?
Right, I think part of it is the choices are controlled by, like, the game makers. I mean, I would assume the climax of this movie is going to be them confronting the game makers.
And it's going to be them.
And then it's going to be Hunger Games 4, and we were all tricked into going to see it.
There's no way it can
be like the Maze Runner ending.
But. Yeah, technically it would be Hunger Games 5.
Oh,
but,
that's right.
Yeah, there's no way it can be worse than Hunger Games 4, so...
It's true.
Well, there is a way. They could use all the Hunger Games characters and use the Atlas Shrugged script.
That actually might be more entertaining than Atlas Shrugged 4 and the Hunger Games.
It'd be better than both of those movies.
An Atlas Shrugged Hunger Games crossover. What happens after the collapse of society?
Yeah.
Yes.
Can't you just imagine, like, Katniss just, like, shooting James Taggart?
That'd be awesome.
All right. I love how I just mimed that when the video's not even going. So a couple news stories real quick. We got a lot of social justice going on in our movies this week. Star Trek Beyond has announced through John Cho that the character of Mr. Sulu will be gay. This has been done to honor George Takei, who played Sulu on the original series, except in a twist, George Takei does not like this. Oh my.
Really? I didn't see that part.
Yeah, George Takei came out and said, basically, like, it would be great for Star Wars to have a gay character.
Star Trek, you fucking asshole. Star
what
Trek.
What did I say?
You said Star Wars, you fucking Freudian piece of shit.
Whoops. He said, except that why do you have to fuck with the original vision of Gene Roddenberry? I almost said Rod Serling. Why do you have to fuck with the original vision? Sulu wasn't gay in the original thing. Why are we doing this? It's dumb. Which I thought, yeah, good on you, George Takei.
Yeah. Well, and he also said, like, I wasn't able, like, he's like, it minimizes my struggles. They wouldn't let me portray a gay person on TV. He's like, I couldn't marry a white guy back then, and now I am married to a white guy. I was like, that's going to be the greatest fuck you ever to be able to say that.
Indeed. So, I like it.
I like every aspect of that. I don't agree with the argument that you have to hold true to the original Star Trek vision. I mean, they haven't in many ways. So,
yeah, because J.J. Abrams Star Warsified it.
Right. Pre-Star Warsified it.
Which is the only reason I like it.
Me too. But... I mean, I like it better. I say keep on changing it.
Take out all the communism and make it better.
Exactly.
Oh, well, I mean, I think here's the point. He's the greater point of what he's making. It's not about being beholden to the original idea. It's about saying, you know, the same thing Michelle Rodriguez said a while back, where, and we'll see this in a second when we talk about Marvel, where Michelle Rodriguez is like, don't fucking keep changing these characters that already exist. Make your own fucking characters. And that's what George Takei is saying. You know, Sulu is a character that's not gay. To suddenly change him and make him gay to pander, especially to pander to me, he's saying, I'm pretending to be George Takei right now.
Careful.
Yeah. I was going to say something really bad, but I kept my mouth shut.
Try anal.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That was the joke I was going to make.
Been there.
To pander to me is even more offensive. It's not an homage to me. You're actually minimizing what I've been through. So they made it personal here. This is a time where they've legitimately made it personal, and the person who's saying they legitimately made it personal has a legitimate reason to say it's stupid.
All around awesome. That's what I say about that. All
right. The next story we have here was sent by Daniel, submitted this. Breitbart apparently is reporting that readers are abandoning Marvel Comics after a social justice invasion. Can you blame them? And I just alluded to this. The big story that came out of Marvel's Civil War II is they are replacing Tony Stark as Iron Man, and they are making a 15-year-old black girl who goes to MIT and makes her own Iron Man suit the new Iron Man. Is this offensive or not, gentlemen?
I'm outraged. I'm going to the internet.
I am so past being able to be emotionally affected by whatever they do to Iron Man. Ever since Iron Man 3, I have been... Or wait, no. Ever since...
Age of Ultron?
Yeah. Age of Ultron.
Where suddenly he was throwing just shit. He was just shitting in his hand and throwing it against the wall in Age of Ultron.
Yeah, I mean, it's no longer Iron Man. I mean, speaking of changing characters that already exist, that's not all of the essential parts of Iron Man are missing from that character now. So good, thank God, they've made a physical representation of the fact that they've completely changed the character. Yes, yes. A 15-year-old black girl is capable of being the bullshit, useless character that you have created. Anyone is. They could have picked an infant Iron Man.
Sorry, Robert Downey Jr., we've accidentally turned you into a 50-year-old black girl, so the role will now be played by that girl from Beasts of the Wild.
Right. Oops. We weren't watching our writers, and they accidentally turned Iron Man into a potato. Iron Man will be played by Produce from now on.
Oh, that makes me think of Rob Schneider is a carrot.
I don't think that I can't say anything better. I mean, pretty much sums it up.
Perfect.
Iron Man doesn't exist after Iron Man 3. Just watch the trilogy. Watch Avengers to just understand why he has PTSD in Iron Man 3. Right. And then you're good to go. Because even Avengers was bullshit, too. We're like, hey, Tony did the self-sacrifice.
Did he? Oh, at the end.
Yeah. Joss Whedon would have killed him if he'd have been allowed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, but I could still enjoy that movie because Iron Man was still Iron Man through the whole movie. Yes, that does suck. The way that they did it sucks at the end. But I didn't have to watch a whole movie of him being a bullshit potato character.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't watch Civil War then.
I can't. I love Iron Man. And that is just... It is a crime. It is a goddamn crime.
Now that we're all depressed.
Well, hey, welcome to the midside, right?
Indeed.
Thanks for being here, Michael. That's why we brought you on. This is why you are a fan of the midside, because I'm sure I've gone on many a rant like that. So let's head into the final stretch of the episode here, which will give Daniel a chance to rant here with the first Reddit. It's time for Reddit on Reddit. Sony, stupid, Xbox lame, PC gaming all the way. EA blows, Steam rocks, God rest for my Firefox. See, these things are all on Reddit. Mostly pics of felines, comma, whoring felines. These things are all on Reddit. No, we didn't post it, but we will repost it. As I just alluded to, the first Reddit, Daniel, was put in here for you. This was a shower thought at Reddit, and I think this is very similar to adulting. This Reddit says, "Wish I were a little kid so I could take a long nap and everyone would just be proud of me."
Jesus Christ.
Wait, was that an Iron Man quote?
That's actually the first line of the rebooted Iron Man.
That's what she's saying. She's at MIT working really hard, and she's like, man, I wish I could take a nap.
Yeah, she's just so stressed out from building the Iron Man costume. You know, she's not in a cave trying to escape terrorists. She's just in her dorm room, and she got sick of going to the latest social justice rally and being able to split her time between that and building a suit.
Have you seen her afro? It's outstanding. That's all I have to say. Don't know how it's getting in the helmet, but it's outstanding.
I wish they would have made it an older black woman, and I wish that it would have been Beyonce, and I wish that it would have been a music video.
The Iron Man 4 is Beyonce as Iron Man trying to kill Becky with the good hair.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what has our culture become?
That movie, by the way, any movie producer listening, that movie would sell a lot of tickets. Marvel, if you need to make up your falling comic book sales, put Beyonce in. Put her in. She's waiting. Looking for a project. I heard that she's looking for a project.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, fuck Reddit. Let's just talk about how Iron Man's awesome. Okay, so here's the thing. I'm not going to rant because we talked about adulting last week, the week before. I have no idea. At some point,
the last two episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
It's become a theme. I like to bring things back.
And so this kid is clearly a moron. Here's the frightening part. This kid is choosing the next president of the United States. This man child person gets to pick the leader who will impose rules on us that they could kill for.
I'm going to take it in another direction. Were people ever proud of you for taking a nap as a kid?
No, I think they were relieved that guy... What that guy is confusing for pride is that he's always been an annoying douchebag, and when he took a nap, everyone was happy. Not proud, just relieved.
Thank God that little shit's asleep.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have to listen to his bullshit.
Which, interestingly, is actually what we're saying today, too. But yes. Not a lot has changed.
When I took a nap as a kid, when I woke up and came back, everyone was like, where were you? You were gone?
That's depressing.
Justin, how old? What are you talking about here? Give us a...
Yesterday.
Justin's family.
Yesterday, yeah.
You took a nap? We didn't miss you. Could you go take another? Like, permanently?
Wait,
in the dirt?
Wait, you're in California? I thought you were taking a nap.
Yes.
All right. Next Reddit.
All right, move on from this idiot. I don't want to rant. It's not worth my time.
Well, you're going to love this one then. So, next Reddit. Sometimes I get bored and I read random subreddits, so I was like, oh, I'll read the short guy subreddit, because I'm a short guy at 5'6". But here's the thing, and reading this subreddit convinced me of this point. I've never looked at myself as short. Like, I look at myself and I think I'm normal, and I think tall people are like, they were put in the taffy puller in the chocolate factory.
Interesting.
So here's a question I found on this subreddit, which I think is incredibly interesting. Not in the way that it's right, because it's not right at all. I just think it's revealing. Be honest with yourself. Do you guys genuinely believe feminism can help short men?
I don't understand the premise that they're referencing.
They talk about feminism like it's Rogaine for bald people. Like it's Dr. McCoy's wonder cure-all. What the fuck do they mean? Feminism can help short men.
Well, I mean, I think it's the idea of breaking down masculinity. Because in a way, this is what I'm talking about. It's like they've internalized this idea of short men being equivalent to women. Like, yikes. Wouldn't feminism not help men in any man? It doesn't matter if you're short or not?
Well, this is the thing. Like, I don't even understand the premise of will feminism help men? Like, it's in the word. Fem is in the word, right? Is the idea that feminism was originally the creation that women should be treated equally or equal to men, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is obviously true and a good thing. But it wasn't framed as like, it's going to help you guys out. Because women are equal.
Well,
what does that mean?
It ought to, though. If what you're saying is true, that it is right, then it ought to help all of us.
But it would never be...
Including short guys.
I would never think of it as being framed in that way.
Nope. It's a very strange post.
I mean, I agree with Michael that, I mean, if we make women equal and make women stronger, it'll help all of us because, you know, women won't expect to be taken care of their whole lives. They'll actually, you know, be independent, fully functioning members of society. And I'm not saying all women are that way, but here's a quote from, and I'm just going to read this until I feel it going off the rails. But here's a quote from a woman and a strong feminist in the thread. She says...
Oh, most... stop now.
Yeah, why are you going to say that? Why are you reading it?
Because I'm explaining to Daniel what their logic is here.
Already off the rails.
Most of the things that short guys complain about are a result of a subversion of gender roles. Our society rewards masculinity and subordinates femininity. Being tall is masculine, associated with strength and assertiveness. Since masculine is always defined in opposition to feminine, short equals feminine. Obviously, our society has taught us that men should not be feminine, and this leads to the troubles with dating that most people on here experience. So that's their logic there. Like I said, they're equating being short with being feminine, which just doesn't make any fucking sense to me.
Yeah, that's not true. That would not be a defining characteristic of masculinity in any sense of the word, considering the fact that tallness, quote-unquote, as a norm is a relatively modern paradigm for humans. Humans were much shorter in early humanity, so it wouldn't have made any sense to equate tallness with masculinity.
Were they, though? Bren of Tarth was very tall, and that was a long time ago.
Very long time ago.
I get my reality from George R. R. Martin's.
In a galaxy not so far away. Yes.
Most useless character ever.
The other thing that we benefit from women's equality is that we just get, there's more room for ideas from people. It's good when we're not shutting people up for their gender, but for their stupid ideas.
Yeah, shut the fuck up, moron.
I don't agree. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't disagree with what either of you are saying, but that to me isn't how feminism is sold. That's how, you know, more rapidly we'll talk about individual rights when we're all brought up and all individuals are treated equally.
Yes.
That's it. But feminism.
Right.
Was not sold as this is a thing that is going to help men.
But this feminism. Is how feminism wins. And what I mean by that is they convince... I mean, this is how you win anything, right? This is like Survivor 101, right? You've got to get a certain segment of the opposing alliance out from under the control of the other alliance by convincing them that they're being oppressed by their own alliance.
Wait, are we talking about Survivor now?
It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Just go with it, dude. Just go with it. All right? This is my show. Just go with it.
It's a meta side four.
Yeah, it's a meta side four. What's a meta side four? I don't know. For the cat knocking over the camera. Yeah. What this is if they can convince a certain segment of men that they're not being treated properly by other men and those men are oppressing them, they can get them on their side and then oppress them with their views. And that's what these people don't understand. These guys who are like, can feminism help short men? No, it can't. Maybe you believe you're being shit on by tall guys, but maybe you should just maybe you should just not stand under them when they're shitting. Maybe, you know, that's a problem. But the same thing's going to happen if you go with feminism.
There was a Pokemon under there.
It was a rare one.
Yeah, there was Mewtwo was at the bottom of that toilet.
that was a good comment. Here's my thing. I think feminism today just means social justice.
Yeah.
I don't think it means anything separate from social justice.
Yes.
So why do we have the phrase anymore? Even...
Gavel, that's a good point. All right. Move on. Serious.
We have a gavel now.
Yeah.
What is this, Judge John Hodgman?
I so wanted to like that podcast.
What do you do to be a good friend? You want me to start over here? Serious, what do you do to be a good friend? I just don't like John Hodgman. That's what I do, is I tell people to ignore John Hodgman. What do your friends do that shows they are good friends? Silence. We're not good friends here.
I think being available, that's a big part of it.
Yeah. I tend to go through rotating strains of, like, getting gifts for friends in sort of a surprise way.
I can't afford to
do it for all people at all times because I would go broke, but...
You do give a lot of gifts.
It's on a rotating basis.
Oh, I can't wait till my name comes up again.
You're due. You're due, actually.
Well, this is a gift. The invitation to the Midside.
Oh, isn't that adorable?
But it's from Justin, so you still have to give me some.
That's right. See, I know how to be a friend.
Yep.
I would say that my sole and only talent as a friend, I think, is just listening. And I tend to listen endlessly sometimes, be it to whomever, but mostly a mutual friend of Michael and I's named Dino. Who,
the last dinosaur?
Well.
He is. Yes. How did you know?
Not totally.
It's actually
wrong.
Denver, the last dinosaur, but yeah.
It's pretty close, though. And then also, whenever anyone's having issues, I tend to act the therapist, although most of the therapy just involves going, yes, mm-hmm, go on. So, I don't know, it feels like cheating to me, but apparently it's of value, too.
That's because nobody listens to anybody in today's day and age.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You've also joined this podcast. I think that was a good... You could have just been like, Justin, no, make an ass out of yourself by yourself.
And I said, no, take me down with you.
Exactly.
Ruin my chances of ever being elected to public office.
Yeah, but that's after you realize it would be retarded to be elected to public office in today's day and age.
These are all dug up and used against me in my first Senate bid.
You know, that's the same thing I thought when I was preparing for this show. I'm not joking. I legitimately thought that. I thought, oh, well, I guess if anyone's going to elect me, they ought to know that this is the way I think anyway.
Yeah, you've done a fairly good job.
I'm not going to run on a lie. I mean, I that's not going to happen.
You've been fairly middle ground in this episode. You're fine. It's it. Yeah. Daniel and I that are fucked. I mean, my rant last week, done.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. Build the wall, you're done.
I just think by association. I think that everything you've ever said on the Midside now is going to be associated with my school board campaign.
Although...
Rape everyone!
Adam Carolla likes to point out, like, things escalate, you know, in culture, and they get worse and, quote-unquote, worse and worse, and... One example he gives is he says, like, by the time his children are dating age, like, first base will just be dry anal rape. But, like, he talks about how in the future it will be impossible to actually run someone for office who doesn't have a sex tape on the internet.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you will have seen every candidate for president having sex with someone else on the internet.
I was wondering about that, too.
And so I feel like if I just wait long enough, this will just be really sort of calm and passe.
Yeah, I mean, because let's be serious. Everyone has a podcast nowadays.
That's right.
I don't think that a sex tape or even a tape of you dry anal raping someone is as damning as you as you denying the existence of racism in this current cultural climate.
As long as you're not dry anal raping a black person.
I guess I have to move to, like, Uganda.
Why does it have to be dry? God, so, can't that be second base?
I would think I could be president of Uganda.
So, yeah, what do your friends do that they are good friends? They recommend good things to watch and listen to. That's like, true. Daniel, for instance, has made my life a lot better by suggesting I listen to Adam Carolla.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
My friends travel to Austin for a wedding. That was lovely.
Yeah, you're fucking welcome. By the way,
so Boston of you.
By the way, I never heard anything about that car.
The car that you the rental car that you fucked.
Yeah,
that I into
what
a wire.
You
I nearly destroyed the bumper. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
He just backs up and he goes literally a foot and he backs over one of those thick gauge wires to the telephone pole. And then it pulls forward and it gets like jammed underneath the bumper.
To
like,
be fair,
worse than you could possibly.
That was James who told me to pull forward, and then he realized he fucked up.
So wait, isn't he a physics man?
Yeah,
he should have known better.
Yep.
Wait a second. So they didn't ever say anything to you about it?
No, because I looked at it for like 3 hours. At one point, I was staring at it. I was like, wait, if I just do this, this, and this, they won't ever really be able to see it unless they inspect it. So if you guys want to know, they do not inspect your car upon return at a rental car place.
I got billed for a tiny scratch, but that was in Chicago, not Austin.
Yeah.
Everybody's a little more uptight in Chicago. They're all getting dry.
Well, they have to make sure there's not like a dead body being disposed of and like a drug killing in the trunk. So in Chicago.
Right.
In Austin, they're like, boy, howdy, thanks for stopping by.
My friends take an interest in what I'm doing too. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Are invested in my success.
It's true.
I try to do the same.
That's nice. I like friends. I like friends. So one thing, by the way, at my wedding, I think it was Justin actually. So this will be rehashing to Justin who said,
what?
My God, Daniel, you've actually assembled a group of friends who appreciate each other.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was the nice thing is we all got along with each other, which you don't see very often. Usually they like you fucking battle other people's friends, and you're like, why are you friends with these other people and friends with me?
Right.
Yeah, so there's that. All love and joy and kindness.
I was like, if I ever get married, I just might invite all of these same people to my wedding.
Just give me your guest list. Yes, that's awesome.
Well, I want Phelan's wife to come to my wedding because she is a joy to talk to.
That would be Anne McElhaney, who is the life of every single party.
Oh, God. She was just a force when she got there. She just. Yeah.
Did she give you her spiel on why Ireland's the worst country on the planet? Or,
no,
that's
not
an awesome
really.
Spiel. Oh, okay.
She more gave me a there. You'll enjoy it. It'll be okay about moving to Iowa. Even though I was excited about moving. I am. By the way, I am glad to be living in Iowa. It was my decision as much as Hannah's. But
well, you will get, sir, to pick the person who will eventually not be named the nominee of the Republican Party in the next election. So
that's right.
Congratulations.
That's right.
All right. Yep. So, what did we learn this trip, Daniel?
Well, I learned that apparently you put Dave Franco in a movie and you get all of us to get a little stiffy over it. My God. That guy apparently just brings him in.
Nobody believes me. Nobody believes me until... I feel like Adam Carolla. Nobody believes me until it actually happens and then I'm like, what the fuck? I told you. Michael?
Dave Franco.
I learned that over 1,000 people were shot by the police last year. I did not know that.
That's some people right there.
That's a lot. That's more. I would have guessed a smaller number. Shot and killed. Yeah, I would have guessed.
Yes, shot and killed.
Let's get rid of some laws quickly.
Please. Indeed. Justin, what'd you learn?
I learned that the best description of Iron Man in the current Marvel Cinematic Universe is a potato.
A potato.
Can I add another one? I've also learned that you're supposed to pick something kind of funny for what you've learned at the end.
Okay.
That's it. That's what I've learned.
Okay.
Meta learning. Oh, well. Well, if you've learned anything even half as interesting, you should let us know via Twitter. Tweet at the Midside and tell Justin why he's a wild racist or why he's a mega genius. Either way, let us know. You can also then hop on over with your little fingers to the iTunes and search for Midside, and then you scroll past Welcome to Night Vale bullshit.
And Welcome to the Beehive.
Indeed.
Why am I the only one who hates Welcome to the Beehive? Every week I'm like, fuck Welcome to the Beehive. You guys are just like, whatever.
Because I go after the big boys. I'm going after Night Vale. We're going to take them down, just like we took down that fucking Grantland.
Yeah, that's except right. He came back stronger on HBO.
Yeah, but it's just Bill Simmons. I mean, Grantland was a collection of douches. This is just one mega douche.
So you think his site isn't going to take off? Sidecar or whatever the fuck it's called?
Maybe, but it's not the same. It's not the same D-bags.
So. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So yeah, you go to iTunes, you click a little 5 stars, and then you type in like, "This show was incredibly insensitive to women and minorities," and then you click submit, and we're happy because you give us 5 stars, and that's all we care about because that helps us move up the rankings. But then, of course, you should tell a friend. Seriously? Like, I've actually told people that I know, and now they listen to the show, and it's amazing. Like, there's now people who they told that I don't even know. Strangers to me listening to this show, which is incredible.
Apparently, there's somebody from Sweden listening to this podcast. So, what's up, Sweden?
What's hello in Swedish?
I have no idea.
Hello?
It's not just IKEA.
Pong chair. There, I said something in Swedish.
All I know is a random Swedish guy followed me on Snapchat, so I followed him back, and then I was watching all the snaps, so I was like, what language is this? And it wasn't until he finally put up a caption that I was able to Google that I was like, oh, it's Swedish.
Yeah,
I was
so, yeah.
Close. It's hala. It's hala.
IKEA.
You have to say it with that
hello.
Gay accent.
IKEA.
Hello.
IKEA.
And you can find The Midside on Snapchat at The Midside, or facebook.com/TheMidside, or themidside.com/podcast. But most importantly, maybe not most importantly, but something that really incredibly helps, sort of beyond belief, is patreon.com/TheMidside. You can go there, and you can choose to give us any amount of money you want. Any amount, Bill Gates. I'm just saying. Per piece of content we produce. So it's not just monthly, it's not just, you know, weekly, whatever. It's when we actually give you something, then you can pay for it in return. Just a little bit. Helps us keep the lights on. Helps us bring in the new powerhouse co-hosts like Michael.
And I don't come cheap. And it helps us connect via top-of-the-line communication satellites.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing but the best here.
We're waiting for Pied Piper to invent a better video chat software.
Yeah.
Indeed. Tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell your dog. Put the podcast on your phone. Like, put it on audio, like projecting, and then just put it by your cat's ear. It'll love it. And, yeah. Thanks, everyone. You make our life grand.
I'm Justin M. Wisniewski, and I hope you learned something this trip. This concludes your journey into the Midside. Good luck out there, and remember, if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day.
Justin, did some people on Welcome to the Meta Side get a special show there?
Oh my god, no. Welcome to the Meta Side is now dead again because the cat just knocked over the tripod.
Excellent. Cat doesn't like Michael's commentary. Cat likes my commentary, Michael.
Well, I had a little trouble getting it out, really. Yeah, I understand, Cat.
She now wanted the cat went away now. She knocked her over the tripod and left.